One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today. And get your old self back naturally.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And welcome back to another edition of the Mandatory Live, coming to you early in the morning, 7 a.m. here on the West Coast, 10 a.m. on the East Coast where Brian is. We thank you so much for joining us this morning. Remember, if you like the content, hit that like and subscribe button because it helps the channel grow. Also follow us on our social media channels. We're at the Mandatory TKO, and you can find us on the audio side as well. So wherever you find your shows or podcasts, you can find us there. Leave us a rate and review, give us a 5-star because that always helps. And a pretty exciting week, Brian, because it's in a way week. So whenever it's in a way week, it's an exciting week. Now, we are going to get into some announcements as well that were made this week, some big fights coming up as well. Devin Haney is going to be making a return. Ryan Garcia is going to be making a return. They're not going to be fighting each other, but they're on the same card. So we're going to get into all of that. Also, the Tank Davis card has been announced as well. So remember, drop your comments. We're going to get to all of them. This is an interactive show. But before we get into all of that, like I mentioned, in a way week. Now, it's not initially the fight that we thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be him and Sam Goodman. Sam Goodman, Brian, he just can't seem to not get cut. So that fight's not happening. But this is actually a pretty intriguing fight. I know the odds are crazy as they normally would be. But Naoya Inoue versus Yejun Kim, this is not the worst fight because, I mean, Kim's going to make this interesting, right?
Is he, though?
Well, let's get into it.
That's kind of where I'm at with this. If you're watching, you may be a better because we do talk about betting from time to time. Now you're in a way is -5,000, so don't even bother. If you're gonna bet, like look for something else. The over under in terms of rounds is 3.5, which is Vegas telling you, hey, this should end very, very quickly. Now, Yejun Kim has never been stopped before. He's lost twice. He has 2 draws on his record. he is as good as you can probably do on short notice, according to some people. I would probably dispute that, but like, you have to also take into account somebody has to go to Japan to take this fight on short notice and to be willing to face Naoya Inoue, which, I mean, I don't know how many people are willing to do that, but yeah, it feels like Naoya Inoue is just going to, I mean, I saw a quote that said he hopes that this is going to be, you know, super challenging or whatever the case may be. We'll see. But I don't think this is going to be something that lingers on forever unless Inoue sort of carries him, which this is not a fight that I'm tempted to bet on, but I will watch it because it's Naoya Inoue and because it's January. My expectation is he fights three times this year. So hoping to see him again in the spring / summer and then again late in the year, hopefully not on another holiday, because they attempted to do Christmas Eve last year. And I'm kind of glad that Sam Goodman got cut the first time. Bummed the second time, though, because I still want to see Inoue versus Sam Goodman, even though I'm very confident Inoue wins that fight.
Yeah, I think that is a good fight, though. Like, let's be serious. Inoue versus Sam Goodman. But here's the thing. It's not happening. Our good friend of the show, Jesus, is joining us early in the morning. Saludos. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, saludos. We'll get
God,
to
I sound other... like a gringo. Oh, we'll my goodness. You should have heard the way I ordered a burrito taco the other day. I sounded like a gringo. I was like, can I get a burrito taco? I was disappointed in myself. Okay. Anyways, that's not the point.
We'll get to the other comment in the next segment, Jesus, because we're going to just wrap on Inoue here.
That's true. Okay, the only thing that I want...
Any other comments, please feel free. Anyway.
The only thing I really wanted to say about the Inoue thing is going back to the record, unless anyone was curious, because I tried to go back and see a few fights from Kim, and I could only find like four, to be honest with you. So I sat down and I watched it just because I wanted to see how he fought. But that's because I hadn't seen him before. So I was like, let me do my research. He's 21-2, 13 of those wins come by knockout. There's not really anyone on his resume that I would point out and be like, oh no, he fought him. So when it comes to Inoue fighting Kim, the one thing that I did notice that will be very interesting in this fight is, as Brian said, let's remember it's short notice. You're going to be going to Inoue's backyard, and everyone knows that this is the monster that's like knocking dudes out left, right, and center, right? And it's a tough fight to take, but you got to have no fear. Kim has no fear. If you see the way that he fights, he is aggressive. The only thing that's kind of worrisome is that he's not very good defensively. Like, he's there to be hit and he doesn't care. Like, he's going to get hit and he's very, very tough. So that's why I think this could be a very interesting fight, because he's got a lot of heart, but the style is not the best, because it's like, you don't want to get hit by Inoue. And I think Kim is going to get hit by Inoue a lot because he doesn't care. Like, that's kind of his fighting style. It's kind of like a Mexican style where he likes to come forward. He likes to get hit. He likes to throw. That's the type of fighter he is, from what I saw from the footage of those like four or five fights that I could find online. So I think he can make it interesting in the sense where he's not going to be scared of him if that's his game plan, because that's the only way I've seen him fight on highlights. However, it's not a good recipe against Inoue. I feel like this is going to be under six rounds if he fights like that. Like, he fights reckless. Like, he's a brawler. And that's not the best style to have against Inoue, but it will probably make for an entertaining fight. So, yeah, not the best fight to bet on, probably. But if I was looking, I would say rounds 1-6. Kim is really tough, but how much of a beating can he take from Inoue? Inoue hits harder, and he's got the speed factor. So I'm not going to stay on this for too long. Inoue is going to put on a good performance, I feel. And Kim, though, very tough, and I think he's going to make it interesting and entertaining. And he's not just a layup, because just based off the footage, the guy's got a lot of heart. So for that, I think this might be a pretty good fight.
Rounds 1-6 for Inoue to stop him, -500 at one particular book. So there's your parlay leg. And like, that's the super safe one, it apparently is. I'm not even so sure I would bet that, just because, like, again, what if he just is carried into the later rounds?
Well,
we haven't seen an like an early Inoue stoppage in a little bit. So I mean, maybe he's sort of due, so to speak, because
is that Topalas? Would that be the last one?
So he got TJ Doheny round 7, Luis Neri round 6. So that was the last time he got that 1-6 window. Martin Topalas was 10. That was later than I remember. Yeah. Also, Stephen Fulton was 8, Paul Butler 11, but Paul Butler was legitimately just playing keep away for as long as possible and not trying to mix it up. Kim will not do that. And Nonito Donaire before that, the second time, was round two in 2022. So that's probably the last time. And this that was around the time where, in a way, had been getting early stoppages. Like, it wasn't too long after Emmanuel Rodriguez, for example. But he hasn't gotten a lot of early stoppages. And this one projects to be one based on the styles also. Because it feels like, in a way, he's going to, like he did against Stephen Fulton, like he's done against other guys. Like, once he commits to his jab early on and does it in round one, like, you're in trouble. Because he can get his jab off even against a taller and longer fighter like Stephen Fulton. He'll do it in this fight, too.
And Stephen Fulton is a lot more skilled than Kim. Kim doesn't have, like, he does have skill, but he's not as tactical. Like I said, he's kind of like a brawler. So he's going to come forward. He's going to try to be aggressive. So I want to know if that's going to be his game plan for this fight. So I looked at odds 1-6, which because Kim is so irresponsible defensively, I think he's going to get knocked out between that. But if I was looking longer, I would look at rounds 5-8. Like, I was feeling kind of comfortable about it because I was like, you know, what if Inoue tries to warm up, put on a little bit of a show and get him out in rounds 5-8? But at the same time, we've seen him have crazy knockouts. And so if Kim is going to be irresponsible and Inoue lands, you know, a liver shot or something like that, which I feel like could possibly happen in this fight, then I think it could be rounds 1-6. But if it happened between rounds 5-8, I would not be surprised. I just don't see it going past round 9, though. Like, as tough as Kim is. And
yeah. Can I just read you some odds?
Like, yeah, of course.
This is ridiculous. And then we'll get off this. But one knockdown in the fight. One plus knockdowns in the fight. Minus 1,400. A knockdown in any of rounds 1-6. Minus 950. We have Ye-Jun Kim to get knocked down in rounds 1, 2, or 3. Minus 320. Two plus knockdowns in the fight. Minus 250. Like, this is all telling you where the sort of value or lack thereof is. And this is very much a lack thereof. This is interesting in terms of just betting. Ye-Jun Kim to be knocked down in the first minute of any round plus 120. Basically for Inoue to just get off to a hot start and just catch him early in any round in the fight. I kind of am interested in that. Then you have a knockdown in any of rounds 4-9 plus 125. So if you think this is going to go over 3.5 rounds, which not a lot of people seem to, but if you do, then that's something that's worth looking at. Now you're in a way to win in the first minute of any round plus 195. Now you're in a way to win and round 5 to start plus 195 and so on and so forth. So like that's where you start getting the value there. But I mean, if you're going to bet, you got to get creative. I also don't think this is something you need to bet on. You could just watch Inoue, just be Inoue, and then move on to the next. Before too long, maybe he fights Sam Goodman. Maybe he becomes a featherweight. And maybe we see him fight the Junto Nakatanis of the world in the future. We'll see.
I forget who it was, but there were some people saying that there was going to be an upset online. Not our YouTube show. But someone's like, is it going to be an upset? Because Kim's known to be like really, really tough. He does have power. But like I was saying, we shouldn't stay on this for too long. But once we get talking about Inoue, you never know what could happen with opponents. And you never know what could happen in boxing. In a fight, like Lewis Nery dropped Inoue. And that was like so surprised. We were like shocked and jarred. But not really because Nery's got power.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the
right.
Nery's the strongest guy that Inoue's probably been in the ring with.
If I'm going to be honest, though, I love that. I love that Inoue got dropped and then won. Like, I love that stuff, right? Dominated like, I love that. So it's like, I don't really care about those type of things. Inoue proved himself. So nonetheless, let us know how you're going to be betting on this fight. If you think there could be a possible upset, if you've seen more fights from Kim, if we are downplaying how he fights, let us know. Obviously, this is an interactive show and we love hearing comments from you. So make sure to drop that below. Also hit that like and subscribe button if you like the content. Brian, let's get to one comment from our good friend Jesus because he's talking about Inoue really quick. And I think this is kind of a topic of discussion. Jesus says, Inoue cherry picking. Supposedly Inoue is going to face David Picasso very soon next. Interesting. Do you see this happening?
I don't think Inoue is cherry picking. No, I think you're just getting a guy on short notice who's tough, who's going to put on a show, and on to the next. Like, again, I think Inoue gets this done early, and we see him again in May,
Jesus. I don't think he's cherry picking either. I think Sam Goodman was actually a good opponent, in my opinion, and I think when Inoue does decide to move up to 126, because I think he's going to cap out at some point.
Yeah.
At some point he has to, because there's a weight classes for a reason. But 126 to me, like, there's some interesting names on there. Like, that's when things get real, and I would like to see him in that weight class. But for now, it's like, I think he stands alone in the weight class that he's in. So if you have any more comments about Inoue fighting Kim, or just Inoue, and you want to respond to Jesus's comment, let us know. Drop some comments below. Brian, we got to move on though, because, you know, we got some very big news throughout the week. It's kind of like a newsy boxing month, because we keep on getting news, But Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, they will be on the same card together. They're not fighting each other yet. This is all reports for now. But Devin Haney going to be fighting Jose Ramirez, who just recently lost to Arnold Barboza Jr. And Ryan Garcia, it was slated that Isaac Cruz was going to fight him first, but it's going to be Rolly Romero. How good of a fight is that in terms of entertainment value? Because you know Rolly's going to bring it. By the way, we had Rolly on our show. If you've never seen that interview,
that's true.
Entertaining as hell.
Forgot about that.
And that was before he fought Isaac Cruz. Yeah. So make sure to go check that out. But Brian, what do you think about this card? Because I was looking at it last night when you sent it to me, and I was like, yo, this is actually a pretty solid card.
Yeah, I mean, you have Ryan Garcia, who is fighting Rolly Romero in a fight that is going to be super chaotic. And I thought that fight was going to actually happen at another point. So I'm actually more intrigued that Rolly Romero's in this than Isaac Cruz, just from a character perspective, just from the standpoint of like these two dudes talking shit to each other in a press conference. This is infinitely more interesting fight than, with all due respect, Jose Ramirez and Devin Haney. But I know you're more interested in probably the Jose Ramirez piece of this.
Yes, come on, hey, man. You know how I feel about Jose. But before we get into that, Jesus clearly didn't ask me this question on purpose. Brian, how did Jose Ramirez get Haney after a loss? This is actually a good question that I'm with Jose, Jesus. I want you to answer this question.
Isn't Devin Haney kind of coming off a loss? I know he's not technically, this is the sort of get back opponent. I mean, look, in terms of opponents that Devin Haney could choose at this point, like, you could do a lot worse than Jose Ramirez. Jose Ramirez, he's still, like, he lost to Arnold Barboza. I think he's still a dangerous fight for Devin Haney at this stage, especially if Devin Haney, like, this is when we're going to get some answers. But Devin Haney, he's potentially chinny. Like, we have to see how he holds up here. So I didn't expect him to get in the ring with like a power puncher. He's also been teasing that he's going to be a welterweight, that he's going to be at 147, which is funny because he didn't really spend that much time at 140 at all. We'll see. If this is at 147, then you probably feel less confident in Devin Haney, not particularly for this fight, but going forward, just because if Devin Haney is going to be at 147 now, if you're worried about his chin at 140, and granted, Ryan wasn't 140 in that fight, but if you're worried about Devin Haney's chin, him moving up in weight is not going to help him a ton, because his power is going to be, well, even more diminished than it already had been. And on top of that, he's going to face stronger and stronger punchers. Jose Ramirez probably doesn't qualify in this regard because he'd be moving up also, but the weight piece of this, like, we'll have to see where that lands. And then with Rolly and Ryan, I mean, that's just going to be fun as hell. I think both those guys are going to show up at like 160. It's going to be stupid. Like, neither of those, like, it's not going to actually be 160. Like, I'm talking about rehydration, maybe even bigger than that. But that fight's going to be stupid. And I'm excited for it.
I think this is actually a pretty interesting fight because, of course, it does depend on what the weight class is for this fight. And as you know, we are gearing up. There has been reports that Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia too will happen. So I'm guessing these are the fights that happen before those two meet in the ring, possibly. Now, where this fight is pretty interesting because I still think Jose Ramirez, and of course I would say this, but he still possesses a threat in this fight. He's a tough fighter. Devin Haney, though, very tactical, but we don't really know how he looks after what happened to him against Ryan Garcia. We don't know how chinny he is. We don't know what type of fighter he's going to be. Also, because he never lost like that before, and I know it's not a loss on the record, but mentally, how is Devin Haney going to be in the ring again after being dropped like that? And he did show mental toughness throughout that whole entire fight. Like, let's remember that Ryan Garcia didn't get the stoppage in that fight, which is crazy because there were so many drops, but he was mentally tough throughout that fight. And you could see clearly that he had a broken jaw after. So what Devin Haney we see in this fight is very, very interesting. But at the same time, on the Jose Ramirez front, which I don't know if people are too interested in it. I am. But this could kind of be his last, like, go around.
Yeah.
Because what happens with Jose Ramirez after?
Yeah.
If he is to lose this fight, and I think a lot of people would be picking Devin Haney to win this fight, I think Jose will make it very interesting because he's going to come forward. And, you know, Jose Ramirez likes to take punches and throw them at the same time. In terms of volume, he's going to have that work rate against Devin Haney possibly because Devin Haney has been getting hit a lot more since, I would say, Lomachenko. Before, Devin Haney was a little bit hard to hit, but he's been easier to hit lately. But I think it's because he's taken more chances than before and been a little bit more entertaining on that front. But this could be one of Jose Ramirez's last fights, depending on how it goes. And we saw a little bit of a delay in his life where we didn't see him in the ring for a while. And I was like, yo, where is he? So very interesting when it comes to his career on that front. And as for the Ryan Garcia side against Rolly Romero, entertainment, pure entertainment. And I think it's cool of Ryan Garcia to also get into the ring with Rolly, because could this be Rolly's last hurrah too in the ring? Because right now Rolly's in a different situation too,
yeah.
Right? Like, he's going to make a lot of bread off this fight, which is great for Rolly, but he's also taken a lot of L's and it's not the best for him. So lots of questions going into both of these fights, but nonetheless, Brian, very entertaining on both sides.
Rolly Romero is going to be 30 years old this year. It's a little bit of an upset. I thought he was younger. Maybe it's the way he acts. But he's 16-2, and it feels like he has more losses than that, because remember the Ismael Barroso fight where he fucking just the worst stoppage ever. Like, all due respect, but that's the worst. That's one of the worst stoppages I've ever seen. That he got the stoppage in that fight. He was down on all three cards at the time of the stoppage. The stoppage was at a time where he had like a little glimmer, but he wasn't very much like dominating in a way that you needed to stop Barroso, who dropped him earlier in that fight. So there's right there, you're looking at what should have been three straight losses for Rolly, because before that was Tank, and after that was Isak Cruz. And we interviewed him before the Isak Cruz fight, and he's like, you seen that dude's head? Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to miss it. Like, shit like that. And he actually did see some success when he boxed and was able to stay away from Isak Cruz's power hand, which, you know, was kind of what we said. Like, Isak Cruz, like, if you box, like, you can kind of neutralize him. Rolly Romero was doing some of that until Isak Cruz eventually got to him. Was up on one scorecard at the time of the stoppage, by the way. But it's just so chaotic. Like, I don't think people are going to pick him to beat Ryan Garcia. If you look at Ryan Garcia and just, like, if he's focused, you know, like, he should be able to get this done. And so should Devin Haney. Like, these are interesting matchups, but at the same time, these are favorable to the A sides in a way where it's like, we're clearly setting up from a business standpoint, Haney Garcia 2 with these matchups. And yes, it's possible that Jose Ramirez or Rolly Romero get the win. If I were to ask you who has a better chance of getting the upset between the two of them, I think you're going to say Jose Ramirez. And I'm not sure I'm going to disagree, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Like, okay, so obviously you probably know by now, if you're watching this show, I love Jose Ramirez. He's like one of my favorite fighters. So for me, I just want to see him have an entertaining fight against Devin Haney. That's the only thing I could hope for, because I, at the same time, wouldn't want him to get dominated by Devin Haney. But if I'm Devin Haney, that's the performance I want coming back. Because let's remember, Jose Ramirez was almost undisputed at 140 pounds. Josh Taylor came in. There was a long layoff for Jose Ramirez, and he didn't look like himself. And Josh Taylor ended up beating Jose Ramirez. But listen, there was a time where Jose Ramirez was that dude at 140 pounds. Wasn't that long ago, like 2 years ago. So, I mean, I still think this could be, I'm excited for the fight. Like when I saw all the fights that were being listed that were going to happen in the next couple of months, I was like, this is the fight I'm looking forward to. Because at the same time, I think Jose Ramirez still has a lot to prove. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. But at the same time, Ryan Garcia can be reckless sometimes. Rolly's got power, yo.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly! You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people. Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Auto Parts. He has power, and as you know, in boxing, anything can happen. And I think I still believe this, but I think Rolly against Tank was still one of the most impressive fights against Tank. I thought Rolly fought pretty well until he got knocked out. That's my opinion. I had him up, actually.
One judge had him up.
So it's like, you know, he hasn't looked that great in his previous fights, but he still has the power. And that's really important. And he's entertaining. So I'm happy Rolly got this fight, to be honest. And I think it's cool for Ryan Garcia to give him that opportunity too. It'll be good for boxing fans. Now, Brian, I don't think we have any more thoughts on this, and we can move over to another card that was announced. Yeah. And before you actually go put that up on the screen, we're both tired because we made a mistake here. Take a look at what you wrote. So he's going to change
I'm not posting that.
Yeah, no. It's the Javante Davis and Lamont Roach card was revealed.
It was 2 a.m. maybe slightly past that. Yeah, I had a hard time getting to sleep last night.
No,
among other reasons, I was waiting to see if Jimmy Butler.
Ryan's a busy man. Like, anyways, yeah. So we're obviously it's early. I don't know why we're so choppy this morning, but Gervonta Tank Davis and Lamont Roach, their card was revealed, and this is actually a solid ass card, Brian. When I took a look, I'm like, whoa, this is really entertaining. And I'll let you go through the card since, you know, you made a little bit of a mistake there. You don't want to go through it? Well, Jose Valenzuela will be back on this card, and he's going to be taking on Gary Antoine Russell. That's the co-main. That's a great fight. Is that not a good fight? Okay. Oh, never mind. I'm not picking up what Ryan was dropping. Alberto Pueyo is going to be back as well. He's going to be taking on Sandro Martin, another tough fight. This is going to take place March 1st at the Barclays Center. And Brian, to me, this card is absolutely stacked. And Telez is going to be taking on J-Rock. I don't even remember the last time Julian Williams was in the ring. And that's for a WBA interim belt.
January of last year.
Okay, so it's been a minute. And this card to me is stacked. Like, this is a very, very good entertaining fight. I want to see every fight on this card.
The Telez Williams one is the only one where I feel like I feel like I know what's going to happen there. I mean, and Tank Roach also to some degree, but I do think, look, I think Lamont Roach is being a little too disrespected here, but yeah. That's while acknowledging like this is another champion the Tank is fighting that's moving up in weight, moving up from being a super featherweight champion to fighting at lightweight. This happened with Hector Luis Garcia as well, also who I thought was good and who Lamont Roach beat. So I think where we're looking at right now on this card is the two fights I think is going to garner the most attention. Is the Tank one, obviously, but this Jose Valenzuela, Gary Antoine Russell one is very interesting. Now, I don't think Gary Antoine Russell necessarily deserves a title shot because he lost to Alberto Pueyo and then was still number one contender by one of the governing bodies. But Jose Valenzuela has a title after beating Isaac Cruz. He has the WBA. Gary Antoine Russell, leading up to the Alberto Pueyo fight, had an outstanding, like he was building an outstanding resume and he had a big time amateur pedigree. It looked like he was going to be a future champion, all these different things. And just looking at like this fight, while I don't think Gary Antoine Russell necessarily should get a title shot after losing to Alberto Pueyo, I would also acknowledge like he could win this fight and it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I do believe that Jose Valenzuela might be extremely underrated because he gets the win against Isaac Cruz, but going into that fight, I think a lot of people were taking Isaac Cruz, but this was a fight where Valenzuela boxed beautifully. Gary Antoine Russell was pegged to be that dude. Like, we know how good the Russell family is, and I feel like it's been a little bit disappointing because I also think he should be further along than he is, but I'm still going to take Jose Valenzuela in this fight, just based off what I saw against Isaac Cruz when it comes to being technically sound in the skill, but very entertaining. This might be the best fight on the card. Like, Tank is going to put on a good show. Lamont Roach is going to put on a good show. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good fight. Let's keep in mind Lamont Roach is coming up as well in that fight.
Yeah.
But this co-main is dope as hell. And then when you take a look at Pueyo and Sandor Martin, that's a very good fight as well. Sandor Martin makes everything difficult. Like, I'm looking at that fight, Brian, and I don't know who I'm going to pick.
Me neither. This is, I don't think it's going to be the best fight in terms of action or anything like that.
No, but us nerds, like us boxing nerds, we're looking at that card like, that's the fight, yo. Like, that's the fight we want to see because I don't know who I'm picking in that fight. I guarantee you Sandor Martin makes it difficult.
The only thing I don't like is that he's coming off a long layoff.
Split decision. It's going to be like majority decision, split decision. I swear. There's going to be controversy for this fight. And you know what? Let's go over to Foxy because I believe this. The undercard is better than the main event for me. The undercard is dope.
Yeah. Minus Telez versus J-Rock Williams. I might be disrespecting J-Rock Williams.
But like, I'm excited to see Julian Williams because I saw him on the bill and I was like, yo, like, I can't remember the last time I saw him fight. And he was always extremely entertaining for me to watch. So I'm excited to watch him fight. I guess just like the fan in me.
He hasn't gotten a meaningful win since 2019 against Jared Hurd.
Yeah.
Since then, he's been knocked out by Jason Rosario, was upset by Vladimir Hernandez, won against two journeymen, got knocked out by Carlos Adames. So this is basically the showcase for Yoenis Teles. Like, how good are you? And J-Rock is playing the role of gatekeeper slash, if you're a wrestling fan, jobber to the stars here. And Teles, you know, like they're moving him up quickly. He's 9-0, but he's Cuban, had an amateur pedigree, so he's going to move up a little bit quicker than the average fighter. And I think this would be a big win for him. So if he can put on a show and a showcase performance against an opponent who's going to be there and who's been a champion, then yeah, it'll tell us something. Like, standard boxing protocol, it's like, all right, this is your shot. You're facing a former champion. We'll see if the former champion still has it. It'll be a massive win if J-Rock Williams could get it. But Teles, like, this is set up for you. Don't fuck it up. And then Pueyo Martin. I mean, Martin hasn't fought in over a year. It's my only sort of hangup. But he's deserving of something because there are a bunch of people who think that he should have been champion after beating Teofimo Lopez in 2022, you know. He knocked down Teofimo Lopez in that fight. Like, Sandor Martin is a motherfucker, man. Like, he beat Mikey Garcia at a time where not a lot of people thought that was going to happen, for example. He's a tough, tough fight stylistically. And then when you look at Valenzuela's a slight favorite against Gary Antoine Russell. I just looked. It's minus 174. One book, Gary Antoine Russell's plus 126. I'd be surprised if that doesn't move a little bit closer to one another, because I think you're talking about Valenzuela being a little underrated, and that may be so because there are a bunch of people who thought he got robbed against Chris Colbert the first time before knocking him out the second time.
That was me. That was me. I thought he got robbed.
And then you have the fight against Isak Cruz, obviously, where I set it up here. If he boxes, he'll win that fight. If he just boxes and doesn't brawl, and he switched it up on Isak Cruz, and Isak Cruz doing the same shit that he tends to do over and over, just moving forward, not cutting off the ring, and he got outboxed. And all that being said, I think Gary Antoine Russell might be a little undervalued here. It was a split decision loss to Alberto Pollo in a close fight. I thought he lost, but at the same time, like, if you told me, because Gary Antoine Russell has the higher ceiling of the two fighters, if you told me he wins this fight, I would not be surprised at all. In fact, I may even bet that. Like, I may like Gary Antoine Russell in this fight. The irony is that Pollo beat Russell, and I could see Martin beating Pollo and Russell beating Valenzuela, and it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and I also think for Jose Valenzuela, because he's from the Pacific Northwest, so we just claim him over here now. Well, I am. Anyways, I feel like there's not enough hype around him for what he did against Isak Cruz. Like, that's probably one of the most impressive wins of last year, Brian.
With I disagree. I think he's plenty hyped from what I've seen. Real? From my consumption.
Going into that fight, though, against Isak Cruz, like, the hype around Isak Cruz, like, it was massive, dude. Oh, yeah. And Jose Valenzuela fought through that. And I think there should be more cachet to his name. So maybe that's just me, but I'm not hearing a lot of people talk about him. But nonetheless, this is a great card. I'm looking forward to it. Drop your comments below. Let us know if you're more excited for the undercard than the co-main. But nonetheless, let us know who you got. Who you're going to be rolling with for each of these fights. Drop your comments below. Brian,
are you taking Valenzuela?
Yes.
In the fight against Russell?
I'm taking Valenzuela because I haven't really been impressed with Gary Antoine Russell for a minute. I think
fights. That's probably why. That's another problem. He doesn't. He fights once a year. Fights once a year as a prospect.
Super talented, though. Super talented. But I've been too impressed with Jose Valenzuela. Yeah. And at the same time, like, I want to see what Gary Antoine we get. Yeah. The Russell family is so good. And I wish we saw more of them. But I got to go with what I've seen lately. So I'm going with Jose Valenzuela. Who are you taking in that fight?
I'm going to be very tempted to take Gary Antoine Russell.
The odds will probably be good.
He's plus 126. And Gary Antoine Russell, like, he stopped all his opponents leading up to the Alberto Pollo fight. I remember seeing Valenzuela get knocked out by Edwin de los Santos a couple years ago, very early on in a fun fight. This is before the Chris Colbert back and forth. Gary Antoine Russell has power. Like, there could be some interesting value, and I'm actually going to take a look right now. It's not up yet to win by knockout, but Gary Antoine Russell by knockout is something I may sniff around and see. I think Valenzuela could win this fight, don't get me wrong, but I'm very tempted to potentially bet Gary Antoine Russell by stoppage, just because I think he's being slept on a little bit here. And I get it, like, Valenzuela deserves a ton of credit for how he boxed Isak Cruz. Like, this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see if he was going to put it all together for that performance. But Gary Antoine Russell's pedigree is being slept on a little bit here. I worry about the activity is the main thing. But that dude has power, among other things.
Very much so. Brian, I think we can probably move away from this topic now over to the 8 count. Now, if you haven't heard about the 8 count, we debuted this new segment on our first show of 2025. Brian, I'll let you explain it for those who have not seen it yet.
These are rapid fire segments, questions, topics, if you will, just rapid fire stuff. We have to determine, like in boxing, at the count of eight, although we're not going to have an 8 count necessarily right now, although we may when we have some imaging. But we have to determine quickly if we're going to stand up on the topic or stay down on the topic. Stand up meaning actually going to talk about it, or pass. It's kind of like a pass or play. And we have 5 topics today, and we have to keep it brief. That's the whole point. But it's a way to hit other things in boxing, because oftentimes, like, there will be weeks like these past couple weeks where a lot of shit will happen that we just can't fit into just the main 2-3 segments that we want to get into. So we have 5 here. We're going to determine each of us if we're going to stay down or get up. And honestly, there may be some skippables here, but it's some interesting stuff that if we don't get to now, we will get to later. So,
all right, let's go with the first one. We can switch back and forth. I'll name one, you name one. Brian, we'll do it like that. Keith Thurman returning to the ring after an extremely long layoff. I don't remember the last time he was even back. He was supposed to fight someone, and then he didn't. He backed out of that fight. I can't even keep count. Against Brock Jarvis on March 12th in Australia. Brian, are you staying down or are you getting up?
I'm getting up for this one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Are you staying down or getting
up? I'm staying down. I'm not getting up for this.
Okay. I will briefly get up for this. This is Keith Thurman's first fight in 3 years. He was supposed to fight Boots Ennis. He was supposed to fight Stan Jonas. He was supposed to fight Virgil Ortiz. Like, he was linked to all these different rumors, and it ultimately never happened. Facing Brock Jarvis in Sydney. And Brock Jarvis is from Australia, has power, 22-1 and 20 knockouts. Keith Thurman, we haven't seen him since he beat Mario Barrios. And before that was Manny Pacquiao. This is going to be Keith Thurman's second fight in 6 years. And this is somebody who the injuries, the accidents, quote unquote, if you will, and just the matchups that didn't happen. Like, Keith Thurman at one point to me, Chantel, was like the best welterweight in the world at one time.
Was that dude. And I think
you said you're going to stay down.
I can still comment on what you're saying, though.
Okay.
I'm just saying he was that dude before, right? And I think injuries just kind of took that away. That's all I was going to say.
2 fights in 6 years.
Yeah.
I'll be excited to see Keith Thurman again, but I'm not sure he's even going to win this fight. We'll see. Next. Go to Jesus real quick. Looks like Keith is going to fight Tim in Australia with this marketing bout versus Brock Jarvis, That's an interesting theory. Keith Thurman versus Tim Zhu. Would you be interested in that, Chantel?
Keith Thurman and who?
Tim Zhu.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that. I get up for that. But at the same time, I think a lot of people would be like, meh. You know what I mean?
No,
as it's not George Kambosos Jr. in Australia, I'm fine.
Well, if he beats... No, George Kambosos, not. I don't think he's going to fight it this way. Keith Thurman, if he could still make welterweight after all that time off, props. Tim Zhu and Keith Thurman, I'd like that, if assuming Keith Thurman wins his next fight. Okay, stay down or get up. Sebastian Fundora versus Cordell Booker, targeted for March 22nd title defense for Sebastian Fundora. This would be
staying down. What about you?
So am I. Next.
William Zepeda, Tevin Farmer 2, nearing a deal for March 29th. Are you staying down or are you getting up?
Staying down. The only thing I will say is that this is supposed to be in Mexico, and I don't like that, considering Tevin Farmer got robbed the first time, and now he's going to go to Mexico and get robbed again. Michaela Mayer versus Sandy Ryan 2, nearing a deal for March 29th.
I'm getting up for this one. I didn't know if I was going to get up during the 8 count. This is the one I want to get up for. This was my fight of the year last year. Lots of controversy. Could have gone either way. Some people thought Sandy Ryan won. There was also controversy before the fight because someone got paint on Sandy Ryan. There was a bunch of stuff that happened. Some people thought it was Michaela Mayer's people. This is a very, very good fight. And Brian, I'm not quite sure where the location is for this. I wonder if it's in New York again.
TBD. We'll see.
That's going to be interesting. Is it going to be in Sandy Ryan's backyard? Because we know that Michaela Mayer doesn't have a problem fighting overseas at all. She's done it a lot. Or if it's going to be back in, you know, Michaela Mayer's backyard or wherever. But this is a fight where I think they could put anywhere. I think it could be back in New York again. I think it could be in Vegas. This is going to be, I'm telling you right now, one of the fights of the year. And if it's good as the first fight, yo, give us a trilogy. Like, if Sandy Ryan gets it done against Michaela Mayer, in this fight, I would want a trilogy fight. That's how good this fight is going to be. And you're staying down for that one. So let's go to the next topic.
I am.
Team USA Olympian Amari Jones has signed to Matchroom. Are you staying down? You getting up?
I am getting up for this one because I'm the one who put on the rundown. Let me pull up the press release because I was excited when this dropped yesterday. Are you staying down or getting up for this?
I'm staying down because I know you're getting up.
Mad disrespectful. I mean, then again, not necessarily probably invested in Amari Jones' success here. Amari Jones, for people who didn't watch the Olympics, he was basically Team USA's best performer. He's the only person from Team USA who got a medal in boxing in the Olympics in France last year. He got a bronze. Team USA, the men, still haven't gotten a gold medal since Andre Ward, so nearly ended that drought. If I'm not mistaken, he's from Orlando, just signed a promotional deal with Eddie Hearn, Matchroom Boxing, and I think that they're going to develop him well. I think Amari Jones is going to be really, really, really good, potentially. I'm excited about his debut. I thought that of the guys from Team USA, and I'm not even like invested in Team USA boxing in that way. I'm just highlighting that for Team USA, he looked really, really good at that sort of super welterweight range. We'll see where he's going to be as a pro. Is he going to decide to go down to welterweight? Is he going to stay a super welterweight? He's 5'11". He's only like 22, 23 years old. He's very young. I think he's going to showcase some pop at the next level. He didn't showcase a ton of pop at the amateur level. But, I mean, once you implement a little bit more of a pro style that can come out, like a Keyshawn Davis, for example, I think Amari Jones is going to get pushed. He's going to be good. He's in a weight class. In that weight class range, if he decides to be a super welterweight, like that's a weight class that's pretty open, although it'll take some time to sort of move up. But this is a prospect I'm very, very excited about, Chantel.
Yeah, very exciting prospect, but I don't have too much to say about it because I think everything you said, those were my thoughts on it. So let's not repeat it, but let's get to a couple of comments, Brian, before we get up and out of here, because that was it for the 8 count. If you like the segment, let us know. Drop your comments as well if you have any more comments on that. Foxy says Thurman will put out next month, no doubt. That's the thing though. It's like, that's how I feel. I feel like, obviously, pause, right? Like, but at the same time, I feel like I don't know if Keith Thurman is going to go through with this because we haven't seen him actually fight, you know what I mean, in a minute, because he always has those issues. Foxy also likes the Michaela Mayer Sandy Ryan 2 rematch, and Foxy believes Ryan's going to get the revenge. It was so close the first time. The fight could have gone either way. I could see Sandy Ryan beating Michaela Mayer. Definitely. Yeah.
I love the fight. I just didn't want to go in on it today because I want to see where it is.
Foxy with some comments about Eddie Hearn as well. Let's get to this one. Eddie Hearn gets a lot of criticism for having his prospects tested early, sometimes losing.
He would dispute that. He would say, like, you know, if... fucking prove yourself. You know what I mean? I don't put on the cape for Eddie Hearn.
No.
But I do give him credit for some of the matchmaking early on. I think everybody in terms of matchmaking, like they do a pretty good job with prospects, honestly. Like I think in Omari Jones's case, like he'll show enough to where you can throw enough at him. Like I don't typically feel awesome about some of these prospects, but with him, I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, for sure. One last comment from the Universal Boxing. You guys must be on the East Coast, just Brian. I'm on the West Coast. So you just said you're going back into hibernation because it's almost 8 o'clock here on the West Coast. Good for you. Go back and take that nap. I'm up super early all the time, so we're able to do this a little bit early sometimes. But nonetheless, thank you so much for rocking with the Mandatory this morning. Brian, we still got to decide if we're going to have an, in a way, post-fight show.
I assume we weren't because you're going to be traveling.
I'll be back, though, by then.
Friday morning?
Oh, yeah, it's Friday morning. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Wait, is this next Friday morning?
No, it's this week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I won't be here.
Wait a minute, what am I talking?
For some reason, I thought it was on Tuesday. That's the type of week I'm having. Like, it's
because in a way, typically he does shit like that. This time it's actually on a Friday for once. And it's like, oh, okay, it's a Friday morning. But yeah, I mean, to be fair, we always do it in a way post-fight show. We obviously do them for the big names, the big fights. And we want to even do it for some of the geekier fights this year. But in a way, it's a minus 5,000 favorite in a fight that's not going to, like, ultimately determine anything. Like, at the very least, like, something, if Inoue loses, we'll figure something out. But ultimately, if things
if Inoue loses, I will get on in my hotel. Yeah. Like, I'll be like, let's do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll hop on when I'm at the hotel and be like, we have to do a post-fight something.
Yeah.
So, the quality won't be as good. I don't bring a lot of my equipment on the road, but we'll figure that out. But I don't think that's going to happen. Brian, any final thoughts before we get up and out of here?
Nope. Unless something absolutely nuts happens, we'll be back next week. And I think next week we're already at, and I will double check to make sure we have our dates right. But yeah, next week we're already at David Benavidez, David Morrell season. Ooh.
Yes.
So that will likely be our first post-fight show of the year.
All right. Thanks for joining us this morning. Remember, follow us at the Mandatory TKO. Hit that like and subscribe button. We'll see y'all next week.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!